A state lawmaker uses Rivian and a few very choice puns to attack a plan to raise fees for electric vehicle owners.
And speaking specifically to the electric vehicles, it charged me up.
That's Representative Alan Skillcorn. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Thursday, May 23rd. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with state lawmakers trying to decide how to pay for the first big capital bill in a decade. They're looking for billions of dollars for roads, mass transit, schools, and affordable housing. One thing being considered is raising the registration fee that electric vehicle owners pay. Right now, that's about $17 a year. A Senate Democratic plan unveiled early this month would raise that to $1,000 a year, around 60 times more. State Representative Alan Skillicorn is a Republican from Crystal Lake. At a press conference yesterday, he said that increase in EV fees would hurt Rivian, the automaker planning to make EVs in Normal starting next year.
You know, what is Illinois trying to do? Are we trying to drive someone that's done a $400 million investment in rehabbing a Normal community by driving them out with a $1,000 fee per vehicle? Per year per vehicle? You know, that is excessive, that's punitive.
The EV fee issue is far from a done deal. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced his own $41 billion capital bill last week. It includes a more modest $250 a year EV registration fee. In response to these proposals, Rivian spokesperson Michael McHale issued a statement. He says, quote, imposing fees on EVs that are over 400% more than their gasoline-powered counterparts is not only unfair, but it discourages promising new technology that will reduce our dependence on petroleum, reduce emissions, and promote the Illinois economy. Representative Skillicorn agrees.
Something like that, we will shutter those type of industries and people will move on and do something different.
The EV increase is a relatively small part of the overall funding mix needed for a big infrastructure bill. Pritzker's plan would also double the motor fuel tax to 38 cents per gallon to fill up the tank. State would also take a piece of Uber rides and tax cable, satellite, and streaming internet service. It would be the first large public works plan since the $31 billion Illinois Jobs Now plan under Governor Pat Quinn in 2009. Here's Pritzker a few months ago talking with the Chicago Sun-Times about the need for a new capital bill.
We have to maintain that infrastructure and upgrade it because it attracts more distribution centers, it attracts more manufacturers who want to get their goods to market. That's a big push for infrastructure. It's been 10 years.
Representative Skillicorn doesn't just oppose the EV fee increase. He's not sold on the idea of a big capital bill like the one Pritzker and others are pushing for.
The propaganda that we need to raise taxes by $40 billion is wrong and misguided.
Whatever happens, the clock is ticking. The legislative session ends May 31st, a week from tomorrow. And here's some of the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. Home sales for March and the first quarter of Bloomington Normal are just under last year's pace. After a harsh winter, March sales rose in the usual seasonal pattern. Concern over the spread of measles has prompted some Bloomington Normal physicians to refuse clients who won't vaccinate their children. And the U.S. Department of Education has given District 87 its Green Ribbon School District Sustainability Award. The district has cut its electric and gas use since 2015, saving $500,000 a year. These stories and more at WGLT.org. Today at noon and 6 p.m. on GLT's Sound Ideas, you'll hear a story from reporter Eric Stock about vaccination rates in McLean County schools. It's our best attempt yet to localize a public health story that's rippling across the country. Eric is in studio with me here to talk about his reporting. So, Eric, what drew you to this story? Why did you pursue it?
Ryan, measles has reemerged as an issue in the U.S., particularly in the last few months. We know the number of cases is approaching 900 now across the country. We did see several cases reported in Champaign-Urbana a little while back, and the medical community even took the rare step shortly after that of doing a public campaign to urge parents to make sure their children are vaccinated. And one pediatrician that we spoke with then, Aaron Traeger, a doctor for Advocate, he in part blamed doctors for this, saying that many were too hesitant to strongly urge vaccines, possibly because The doctors don't feel comfortable telling families what they should do and not wanting to be confrontational. And so that sort of opened this vacuum of uncertainty that over time became filled by those who aggressively questioned the vaccines.
So what do the numbers show in McLean County? You pulled a lot of data in from the State Board of Education to kind of see how different vaccination rates were playing out in McLean County. What do those numbers show, and where are there areas of concern?
Well, here in McLean County, the numbers are generally very strong for vaccinations, about 98%, and that pretty much reflects the state average at about 98. Only a handful of schools in the county were below the 95% vaccination rate, what the state of Illinois considers as the benchmark that greatly reduces the potential risk for an outbreak. And other media has reported on access being an issue, some being unable to acquire the vaccine for socioeconomic reasons. We didn't see a lot of that here. We focused more on those who simply didn't want the vaccine. A lot of the data had to be sort of independently verified because it's sent to the state so early in the school year that sometimes the numbers can be misleading. But by and large, school officials were encouraged by what they saw.
So what are the skeptics saying when it comes to vaccinations? How has that part of this discussion gained so much momentum?
Well, I think the major impetus that probably everyone is familiar with is the Lancet report, the British medical journal about 20 years ago that said that vaccines may cause autism, a report which has since been debunked. The Lancet later retracted about a decade later. Some of the medical community say that they lost so much medical research time going back and reproving that it was not linked to autism. They did that to tamp down the skepticism that many fear would put the public's health at a greater risk. And of course, social media more recently has become a primary driver, and it's sort of a safe space for many with all kinds of theories that can gain strength. And we talked with the one anti-vaccine advocate, Susan Mitchell. She's a chiropractor in Bloomington, and she's been active on Facebook and has led focus groups about this and even had a billboard up urging parents to strongly consider not vaccinating their children. And she points to examples of parents that she knows whose children have had bad reactions to taking the virus or faced other health setbacks that she believes is the result of getting vaccinated. And this is not just for the measles. And the medical community fully acknowledges that no vaccine is 100% effective, and some could have bad reactions. And she, by the way, has religious exemptions for her two children to not get vaccinated when they were younger.
GLT's Eric Stock, thanks for joining us on The Leadoff today. You can hear his story at noon and 6 p.m. today on Sound Ideas and read it along with some neat graphics at WGLT.org later today. That's all, folks. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.